Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu alayhi ya Rasulullah, wa salatu wa salamu alayhi ya Habibullah, wa salatu wa salamu alayhi ya Nabiyullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and mahaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. And inshallah azza wa jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables of pilgrims. Yes, Hajj pilgrims that are going for Hajj. And alhamdulillah, from this our country, South Africa, this first week of this month of May, people have already started leaving for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them safely and bring them back safely and accept their Hajj and grant them the blessings of Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. And inshallah azza wa jal, at the same time, we also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to see the Mubarak Gumbad-e Khadra of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this dua, dikha de ya ilahi wo Medina, kaisi basti hai, jahan par raat din maula, teri rahmat barasti hai. However, starting the program with a wonderful narration with regards to reciting salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abul Fadl bin Ziraq Qusmani Quddisa Sirruhu Rabbani, he rahimahullah says that a devotee of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me from Khurasan and he said, all praises is due to Allah Almighty. I was sleeping in Masjid Nabawi Sharif when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honored me by appearing in my dream. The streams of mercy were flowing and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said some words to the effect of, when you reach Hamazan, give my salam to Abul Fadl ibn Ziraq. I humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the reason for him being honored like this? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he sends 100 salat upon me every day. Sayyidina Abul Fadl rahimahullah, he states that Khurasani said to me, inform me also of the salat which you recite. Thus I said to him, that I recite this salat 100 times or more each day. And the salat is, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabiyyi al-ummiyyi wa ala ali Muhammadin jazallahu Muhammadan anna ma huwa ahluh. He further states that that devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam learnt this salat from me and he took an oath by saying that I did not know you, nor was I aware of your name. It was the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who informed me about you. Sayyidina Abul Fadl ibn Ziraq rahimahullah then says, I presented a gift to that fortunate devotee of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he may tell me more about the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he declined and said, I do not desire any worldly recompense in exchange of delivering the blessed message of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I did not see that devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after this. Allahu Akbar. Yes. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a wonderful narration, subhanallah, with regards to reciting salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, the more devotion we have for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we would recite salawat upon him, the more we will follow his sunnah, the more we will be inclined towards his way, subhanallah, the more love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will develop in the heart. And salat ala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has so many different numerous virtues, subhanallah. Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he has related that during tawaf, I saw a devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with every step. I asked him the reason behind reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead of reciting subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, At first, he asked my name. He then proceeded to relate his story in these words, that I, along with my father, went for the Hajj. And when we went for the Hajj pilgrimage, during the journey, my father fell seriously ill. We stopped at a place and my father received some treatment, but he did not recover and he passed away. It was ordained by Allah Almighty. All of a sudden, his face darkened. His eyes became skewed and his belly bulged out. Seeing this, I became scared and I cried, reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I then covered his face with a shawl. In this state of worry, sleep overcame me. In my dream, I saw a very handsome personality dressed in extremely neat and clean clothes with a fragrance emanating from him. I had never seen such a handsome individual, nor had I smelt such a pleasant fragrance in my life. That person came close to my deceased father, removed the shawl and passed his luminous hands over the face of my father. All of a sudden, the darkness of the face of my deceased father became full of light. His eyes and belly also became normal. When the radiant person was about to leave, I clung to his feet and said, Allah Almighty has sent you as a mercy for my father in this deserted place. Please tell me who you are. That individual said, don't you recognize me? I am the one to whom the Quran has been revealed. Subhanallah. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Your father was a sinner, but he would recite salat upon me abundantly. When he found himself in this difficulty, he pleaded with me and I came to help him. Indeed, I help those who recite salat in abundance upon me. When I woke up, I saw that my deceased father's face had really become luminous and his belly had also returned to its normal state. Subhanallah, may Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, it is narrated that on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the greatest and the noblest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu as his envoy, as his representative to Makkah Mukarramah in order to negotiate with the non-Muslims. The non-Muslims had decided not to allow the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions to enter Makkah Mukarramah that year. As Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived in the sanctity of the Kaaba, he radiallahu anhu was informed that the Muslims would not be allowed to perform Hajj that year. However, the non-Muslims told Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he could perform Tawaf since he was already present there. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not wish to perform Tawaf without the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I will not perform Tawaf of the Kaaba until the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performs the Tawaf. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Subhanallah. So this is the way, this is the devotion of this great Sahabi Rasul, the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah se kya pyar hai Uthman Ghani ka, mehboob khuda yaar hai Uthman Ghani ka. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. It is narrated regarding Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that he once said, I am deeply ashamed, alas, how will I meet Allah Almighty? I have never traveled to the Holy Kaaba on foot. After this, he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu traveled to Makkah Mukarramah from Madinah Munawwara on foot for Hajj 20 times. Subhanallah. It is narrated that once he radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed the tawaf of the Kaaba, offered two rakats of wajib salah of tawaf at Maqam Ibrahim, placed his blessed cheek on the Maqam Ibrahim and made dua. He cried sorrowfully and he made this dua, "O my Lord, your weak bondman is present in your majestic court. Your beggar is present in your majestic court. Your helpless bondman is present in your majestic court." He radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to repeat these words and he wept and cried. After a while, he exited from Masjid al-Haram. On the way, he came across some destitute people who were sitting and eating pieces of bread given to them in charity. He made salam to them. Replying to the salam, they invited him to eat with them. Without any hesitation, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat with them and at the dining mat, and he said that if these pieces of bread had not been given to you in charity, I would certainly have eaten it with you. Sadaqah, charity, is haram for us, the offspring of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then took the destitute people to his residence and he gave them all lavish food to eat. At the time of departure, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu also gifted them some dirhams, subhanallah. This was the generosity of the Honorable Ahl Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is world famous, subhanallah. Hassan Mujtaba Sayyidul Askhiya, Raqibe Doshi Izzat Pe Lakhon Salam. Yes, it was the same Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu who was climbing on the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. It is narrated that tawaf in rain, it is such a wonderful feeling. If you could to ever experience this tawaf, it's raining and you are making tawaf, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Iqal radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said that I was once privileged to perform tawaf with Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the rain. After we offered two rakat salah at Maqam Ibrahim, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to me, "Start your deeds anew. Indeed, your previous sins have been forgiven." The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the same good news to us and we were privileged to perform tawaf with him in the rain. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a wonderful narration. Hajiyo aao shahanshah ka roza dekho. Kaaba to dekh chuke, Kaabe ka Kaaba dekho. Kaabe ki ronak, Kaabe ka manzar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, both are great. Makkah and Medina. Taiba na sahi afzal. Makkah hi bada zahid. Hum ishq ke bande hain, kyun baat badhai hai. Abr barsade noor ka kilun, barish noor mein naha ya rab. Barasta nahi dekh kar abr rahmat, badon par bhi barsa de, barsane wale. Mera dil bhi chamka de, chamkane wale. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. It is mentioned that Maulana Abdul Haq Ilahabadi rahimahullah ta'ala was an Indian national and he was a great Islamic scholar. He lived in Makkah Mukarrama for more than 40 years and would perform Hajj every year without fail. Once on the occasion of Hajj, he rahimahullah fell seriously ill and he became bedridden. On the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, he said to his students, "Take me to the blessed Haram." Several men picked him up and set him in front of the blessed Kaaba. He asked for the blessed Zamzam water. He drank it and made dua, "O Allah Almighty, do not deprive me of Hajj." Allah Almighty bestowed him with so much strength that he stood up at that very moment and went to the plains of Arafat on foot and performed Hajj. Subhanallah. If one supplicates to Allah Azza wa Jal with a firm belief and a sincere heart after drinking Zamzam water, his supplication will be answered. And why would this not be the case when the revered and the renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "The water of Zamzam is for whatever purpose it is drunk for." Subhanallah. It is mentioned with regards to the water of Zamzam, "Ye Zamzam us liye hai جس لیے اس کو پیے کوئی، اسی زمزم میں جنت ہے، اسی زمزم میں کوثر ہے۔ سبحان اللہ۔ سیدنا حمزہ بن واصل، ہی ہیز نریٹڈ فرام ہز فادر دیٹ ان دا بلیسڈ حرم دیر واز اے پرسن ہو ڈرانک اے بیوریج ان وچ دیر واز اے نیڈل، دا نیڈل پیئرسڈ ہز تھروٹ اینڈینجرنگ ہز لائف، ڈسپائٹ اے لاٹ آف ٹریٹمنٹ دے واز نو امپروومنٹ ان ہز کنڈیشن، گرونگ وتھ پین ہی سیٹ دا لاسٹ ریمیڈی فور دس ڈیفیکلٹی از دا واٹر آف زمزم۔ سبحان اللہ، لاسٹ ریمیڈی از دا واٹر آف زمزم، گیو می سم زمزم ٹو ڈرنک، آئی ول بی کیورڈ ان شاء اللہ عز و جل۔ دس ہی واز میڈ ٹو ڈرنک دا واٹر آف زمزم بائی دا گریس آف اللہ المائٹی، تھرو اٹس بلیسنگز ہی واز کیورڈ۔ سبحان اللہ۔ The narrator, he says that after several days, my father saw the same person in the blessed haram. He was completely sound and he was in a good health. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear brothers, alhamdulillah, we have been listening to these amazing accounts and parables with regards to the Hajj pilgrims and the Hajis. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to a wonderful kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza sab chale madine ko, main na jaun are khuda na kare, jaano dil ho shokhrad سب تو مدینے پہنچے، تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا، میرا دل اور میری جان سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے، تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے، بھر دے بھر دے میرے داتا میری جھولی، بھر دے بھر دے بھر دے میرے داتا میری جھولی، بھر دے اب نہ رکھ بے سرو سامان مدینے والے، اب نہ رکھ بے سرو سامان مدینے، پھر تمنا زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین، پھر تمنا زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین، پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے وا پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان، مدینے والے لکھ دے لکھ دے میری قسمت میں مدینہ، قسمت میں مدینہ لکھ دے، اے تیری ملک قلم دان مدینے والے، اے تیری قلم دان مدینے والے، حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا، حشر میں تم چھپائے رکھنا، ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیمان مدینے والے، ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیمان مدینے والے، تیرا در چھوڑ کے جاؤں تو کہاں جاؤں میں، تیرا در چھوڑ کے جاؤں جاؤں میں، میرے آقا میرے سلطان مدینے والے، میرے آقا میرے سلطان مدینے والے، سگے طیبہ مجھے سب کہہ کہ پکارے بے دم، سگے طیبہ مجھے سب کہہ کہ پکارے بے دم، یہی رکھے میری پہچان مدینے والے، یہی رکھے میری پہچان مدینے والے، میرا دل اور میری جان مدینے والے، تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے۔
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah. As we were discussing the parables of Hajj pilgrims, subhanallah, wonderful parables. Another parable which is mentioned, that a pious person narrated this account that I made dua to perform Hajj for 3 years consistently, but my du'as were not yet accepted. The Hajj season once again arrived for the 4th year, and my longing to visit the Haram made my heart sorrowful. As I slept one night, Alhamdulillah, I was blessed with the honor of beholding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, "You should travel for Hajj this year." When I awoke, my heart was overwhelmed with happiness and joy. The sacred sweetness of the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was echoing in my ears over and over again, "You should travel for Hajj this year." And this was the voice that was going over and over in my head. Subhanallah, "You should travel for Hajj this year." These were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "I had received permission to travel for Hajj directly from the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The happiness and the elation I experienced at that moment cannot be put into words. However, my lack of travel expenses then suddenly came to mind, and I did not have enough money to travel. This thought dimmed my happiness and plunged me into sadness. When the second night arrived, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again honored me with his vision in a dream, but I was unable to mention my lack of means and resources to him. When the third night came, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into my dream yet again, and he said, 'You should travel for Hajj this year.' I then made a personal resolution that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into my dream for the 4th night, I will mention my financial situation to him. The 4th night, the master of all messengers sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again honored me with his vision in a dream, saying that you should travel for Hajj this year. With utmost respect, I said, 'Oh my master, I do not have enough money to travel.' In response, he explained, 'Dig such and such part of your home. Your grandfather's armor is there.' After saying this, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed. After waking up, I was extremely happy, and after offering Fajr Salah, I began to dig in the exact place specified to me by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I came across valuable armor there. It was so dazzlingly clean, it looked as though nobody had ever used it. I sold this armor for 4,000 dinars, and I thanked Allah Almighty after doing so. Alhamdulillah, through the merciful gaze of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the means to perform Hajj fell into place by itself." Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, this parable of this particular haji and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really gave him the glad tiding, and then also he told him a way he could get the means and the resources to pay for the Hajj expenses. Subhanallah. Look at the endless generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa kya judo karam hai shah batha tera, nahi sunta hi nahi maangne wala tera. He helped his true devotee and alleviated him of his difficulties in the most beautiful of manners. Not only this, but he granted his devotee the permission to visit Madina Munawwara, and he appeared in his dream and gifted him travel expenses for Hajj as well. This incident also highlights the knowledge of the unseen possessed by the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was bestowed upon him by Allah azza wa jal. Not only did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam inform his devotee precisely where the armor was buried, but also told him whom it belonged to. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, Hajj is a foundational pillar from the pillars of Islam and an important act of worship. The Almighty has made it fard upon those who have the means. So those who are negligent of fulfilling this duty despite it being fard are major sinners and worthy of hellfire. Allah Almighty states in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 97, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And performing Hajj of this house for the sake of Allah is an obligation upon the people who have the means to reach it. And whoever disbelieves, meaning denies Hajj being a pillar of Islam, so Allah is independent of the entire world. In the commentary of this verse, it is stated in Tafsir Khazanul Irfan that in this verse there is mention of the obligation of Hajj, and its condition is that one has the means. In the hadith, the beloved Prophet ﷺ has explained this to mean provisions for the journey and transport, etc. Meaning, one should have enough food and water that will suffice him for the journey there. And this is besides the upkeep for his family and dependents. It is also necessary that the path be safe, for having the means is not established without this. This also makes apparent the displeasure of Allah Almighty for the rejecters. And it also establishes that the one who denies a fard qat'i, a definitive fard, is a disbeliever. It is mentioned in Tafsir Siratul Jinan that Hajj is to tie the ihram, spend the ninth of Zulhijjah in Arafat, and to perform tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. If these actions are performed in the especially prescribed manner, Hajj will be complete. Adding to this, Hajj became obligatory in the ninth year after Hijrah. The obligation to perform it is absolutely categorical, and anyone who denies Hajj being obligatory becomes a disbeliever. There are three obligatory acts in Hajj. Firstly, ihram, then standing in Arafat, meaning staying in Arafat, wukuf in Arafat, tawaf of ziyarat, tawaf of ziyara. There are also three types of Hajj. Hajj ifrad, in which only the ihram of Hajj is worn, Hajj tamattu, in which the ihram of Umrah is worn first. After completing Umrah and exiting ihram, a person then wears the ihram of Hajj whilst on the same journey. And Hajj qiran, in which the ihram of Hajj and Umrah are both worn at the same time. After completing Umrah, the restrictions imposed on a person by ihram do not come to an end and instead remain established. The details of Umrah you can even find in Rafiqul Haramain, subhanAllah, wonderful manual written by His Eminence Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, for those who are looking for any guidelines and guidance in terms of the rites of Hajj, knowing the rites of Hajj, inshallah azza wa jal, the arkan of Hajj, and to complete them with perfection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, we were discussing different parables with regards to the Hajj pilgrims and their experiences. It is mentioned that a Yemeni person, he suffered from a disease that caused swelling in his stomach, and he was very thirsty. He used to be very thirsty. So a disease that caused swelling in his stomach, and it also caused him to have a perpetual intense thirst, chronic thirst, intense thirst. The doctors of Yemen declared his disease incurable. He came to Makkah Mukarramah, and the doctors in Makkah Mukarramah also declared his disease as incurable. By the grace of Allah Almighty, a thought came to his mind that he should drink the Zamzam water. Thus he drank it to his full, and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he recovered from that disease. Subhanallah. Tumakke ki galiya dikha ya ilahi, tumakke ki galiya dikha ya ilahi, وہاں خوب زمزم پلایا الہی، وہاں خوب زمزم پلایا الہی۔ صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم۔ یہ برادرز، الحمدللہ دس پیربل وے the barakat of zamzam, subhanallah, he came to Makkah Mukarramah and he drank zamzam, and his so-called incurable disease got cured. Allahu Akbar. Kaabe ki raunak, Kaabe ka manzar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Mujahid bin Yahya Balkhi, he said that there was a Khurasani who had been living in Makkah Mukarramah, zadahallahu sharafan wa ta'zeema, for 60 years, a very pious and ascetic individual. He would recite the Holy Quran during the day and perform tawaf at night. He was friends with a righteous and pious person who entrusted him with the 10,000 dinars and then set out on a journey. When he returned from his journey, he was informed his Khurasani friend had passed away. He went to his heirs and asked for his money, but they denied any knowledge about it. And the pious person then mentioned this incident to the Islamic jurists in Makkah Mukarramah. They said that they were hopeful that the deceased Khurasani would be a dweller of paradise. They advised him to go to the well of Zamzam after midnight and call out whilst peering into the well with these words, "O Khurasani, I entrusted you with something." And he would reply. The pious man did as he was advised, but received no response from inside the well of Zamzam. He contacted the scholars of Makkah Mukarramah again and informed them of the situation. Expressing sadness, they said that perhaps the Khurasani was not among those blessed with paradise, otherwise his soul would have been present in the well of Zamzam. The scholars then advised the pious man, "Now go to Yemen, where there is a well called Barhut. After you reach the well of Barhut, call out to him in the same way. That well lies at the edge of hell. The souls of the hell dwellers, they gather in it." Thus he went to Yemen. He peered into the well of Barhut. He called out, "O Khurasani, I entrusted something to you." The pious man heard the crying of the souls and he asked one of them why he was being tormented. He replied that he was a cruel person and would earn haram sustenance. Due to this, the angel of death had thrown him into the well. Another soul said that it was the soul of Abdul Malik bin Marwan and was being tormented for tyranny. He then heard the voice of the third individual, which was the voice of his deceased Khurasani friend. The pious man asked, "Why have you been brought here? You are a pious person." The Khurasani person replied, "There was a disabled sister of mine. I did not care for her and I had severed and broken off ties with her. This resulted in all my acts of worship being ruined and I am being punished for it now." The pious person then asked him about the money which he had entrusted to him. The Khurasani replied that it was buried in such and such corner of his house. The deceased Khurasani asked him to go there and dig it out. Hence, the pious person went to the home of the deceased Khurasani, dug out his money, and then went to the home of the sister of the deceased Khurasani man and fulfilled her needs. Whereupon she became happy. Thereafter, the pious person went to the well of Zamzam in Makkah Mukarramah and called his friend, peering into the well, and the deceased Khurasani man, he replied, "Alhamdulillah, I have been granted freedom from the well of Barhut and I am now residing in the well of Zamzam in peace." Subhanallah, subhanallah. So this also goes to show the reasons as to why, due to some reasons, we could be punished, and something that we take lightly. The ties of kinship and the family matters, inshallah azza wa jal, we should try and always keep family ties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united as an ummah, as a family. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, alhamdulillah, we have a wonderful piece of nasiha and advice, a madani pearl of advice. Let's go inshallah azwajan and listen to it. Thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
When a person performs any act in Islam which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he finds hardship in that act, the reward is greater. Hajj season, people travel from their countries. They travel to Makkah al-Mukarramah, then from there to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, and they perform the various rites of Hajj. During those 5 days, from the 8th of Zulhijjah till the 12th, and for some even the 13th, there's a lot of hardship. Weather conditions, we're not used to them. Extremely hot, scorching heat. We don't have access to the normal facilities that we would be able to avail. We have to stay in the camps. And we have to do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to bear hardship. So when a person leaves for Hajj, he should go with this intention, with this mindset that yes, I will face difficulties. It's not going to be plain sailing. What's the reward? Allah ta'ala will forgive me and I will earn his rida. If we continuously think like this, that I'm doing this for Allah, then we won't be complaining. We won't be saying to others, oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. I can't bear this. It's too much. No. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Al-Quran al-Kareem tells us, do Umrah and Hajj for Allah. When you know it's for Allah, you are willing to bear any sort of hardship you go through. You are willing to bear any pain. Why? Because it's for your Creator. If your Creator becomes pleased with you, there's nothing better than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to bear hardships in order to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Such a wonderful piece of nasiha and advice by our great muballigh, our brother, Hafiz Kaleem Attari, Hafiz Allah ta'ala, all the way from the UK. Alhamdulillah, wonderful brother. We often get to watch his silsilas and subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long, healthy life. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, now we are continuing with our today's discussion, and that was regarding the parables of Hajj pilgrims. And another parable where it's mentioned that on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, an elderly man who was a grass cutter in India, he suddenly thought that it was the day of Arafah and the fortunate pilgrims would gather at the plains of Arafat. As soon as this thought occurred to him, he let out an extremely wistful sigh, saying that if only I had also been blessed with performing Hajj. He had this deep desire. Sayyidina Shaykh Sayyid Ashraf Jahangir Samnani Rahimahullah was present near him. Hearing his sigh, he said to the elderly man, come here. The elderly person drew near. Then without saying a word, he signaled with his blessed hand for the old man to go. As soon as the gesture was made, the elderly man found himself in front of the Holy Kaaba in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarramah. He performed tawaf with great delight. He then arrived in Arafat and performed the remaining rites of Hajj. When the days of Hajj ended, the elderly Haji wondered how he would return to his country. As this thought came to his mind, he saw that Sayyidina Shaykh Jahangir Samnani Rahimahullah was standing in front of him, saying, go. As soon as the elderly Haji lifted his head, he found himself in his home in India. Subhanallah. So this was, subhanallah, a miracle of the great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Makhdoom Samnani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I had the privilege of, alhamdulillah, visiting his Mazar Sharif twice And subhanAllah, it is so spiritually charged, the atmosphere there. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Kyun karna mere kaam bane ghaib se hasan bandha bhi ho to kaise bade kar saaz ka. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidina Abul Hussein Darraj rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that I once went on the Hajj pilgrimage once. Traveling quickly, I reached Qadisiyah. Having arrived there, I went to a masjid where I saw a leper. He greeted me and he asked me, "O Abul Hussein, do you intend to perform Hajj?" Seeing him, I felt great repulsion, and in a very cold manner, I replied, "Yes." The leper said, "Take me with you as well." Considering him a burden, I thought to myself that I did not even like the company of healthy people, and now a leper is requesting me to go with me. Therefore, he says, I flatly refused. Plain down, he humbly requested me to take him with me. But I said, taking an oath, but that by Allah Almighty, I will not take you with me at any cost. The leper said, "O Abul Hussein, Allah Almighty blesses weak people in such a way that even healthy people are left astonished." I replied that he was right, but I could not take him with me. Having offered Asr Salah, I resumed my journey and reached a small town in the morning. Much to my astonishment, I met the same leper there. Seeing me, he greeted me and he said, "Allah Almighty blesses weak people in such a way that even healthy people are left astonished." After the Asr Salah, I resumed my journey once again. At the time of dawn, I arrived at a village. Astonishingly, I came across the same leper again. He uttered the same sentence, "O Abul Hussein, Allah Almighty blesses weak people in such a way that even healthy people are left astonished." Hearing this, strange thoughts came to my mind about this person. Nevertheless, I continued my journey. When I arrived in Qara and entered a masjid to pray, I found him sitting there once again. And he said, "O Abul Hussein, Allah Almighty blesses weak people in such a way that even healthy people are left astonished." Deeply moved upon hearing this, I sought forgiveness from Allah Almighty and requested him to forgive me. He asked me, "Why are you talking to me like this?" I said that I had made a great mistake by not taking him with me. I then once again requested him to forgive me and join me for the rest of the journey. Reminding me of the oath that I had taken, I said that he did not want me to break it. I requested him, "Please allow me to see you at every stopover. It will be very kind of you if you do that." He said, "Inshallah." He then disappeared and I continued on my journey once again. By the blessings of that righteous bondman of Allah Almighty, I did not feel hunger, thirst and tiredness during the rest of the journey, and all praise is due to Allah Almighty. At every stopover, I was blessed to see that blessed individual. Subhanallah. After taking blessings in the fragrant city of Madina Munawwara, I reached Makkah Mukarrama, where I was privileged to meet Sayyidina Abu Bakr Qattani and Sayyidina Abul Hussein Muzayyin Rahimahumallah. When I related this astonishing story to them, they said, "O unwise man, do you know who he was? He was Sayyidina Abu Ja'far Majzum Rahimahullah Ta'ala. We have prayed to Allah Almighty that He Almighty allows us to meet that pious saint. If you meet him again, do inform us. On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, as I performed Rami, pelting stones at the big pillar that represents the devil, somebody pulled me towards him and said, 'O Abul Hussein, assalamu alaikum.' And I turned around. I found the same saint, Sayyidina Abu Ja'far Majzum Rahimahullah, standing before me. Upon seeing him, I was deeply moved and fell to the ground crying. By the time I came back to my senses, he had already left." Subhanallah. So these are some of the beautiful parables in the sacred lands of Haramain Sharifain, on the journey, the accounts of Haji, subhanallah, wonderful accounts. So stay tuned with Madani channel and keep watching your Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Islamic parables, Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic, Islamic parables.